מסכת בבא מסיעה דף למד בית משנה מסעה ברפת אין חייב בה ברשות הרבים חייב בה. If one finds an animal in a barn, then you do not have to return it. You can assume it's in the barn and the owner knows where it is. It's nice and safe in there. But if you find an animal in the public area, in the street, then you have to take it and find the owner and return it, take care of it in the meantime. That's the Resha and Sefa that we're going to analyze in the beginning of the Gemara. So remember those two clauses. V'imayta bebet hakevarot lo yitamela. If you're a Kohen and you see an animal wandering around in a cemetery, you do not need to, nor cannot, you're not permitted to enter the cemetery to become Tameh in order to retrieve the animal to return it to its owner, because not becoming Tameh is a more significant mitzvah than returning a lost item. Im amar lo aviv hi tameh, o shamar lo al tachzir, lo yishma lo. Now a tangent regarding when one has to obey his parents. If a father says to a Kohen, son, go and become Tameh. Not a case of finding a lost item, just in general. Right? I want you to go into the cemetery and become Tameh. I want you to get me something from there. He should not listen to his father. Or if the father sees a lost item and tells the son, do not, he sees the son going to get it. He says, no, do not return it. Do not fulfill the mitzvah of returning a lost item. In either case, one does not have to listen to his father. And Gemara will explain why. Parak v'ta'an, afilu arba'a v'chamisha pa'amim, hayav, shenemad, azob, ta'azob. If you saw someone's animal, it was suffering under a load, and you unloaded it, and then you helped unload it up, and then he walks a few feet, and it falls again, and you help him unload it, and load it again, even four or five times, you're obligated to help him out each and every time. Each and every time is a separate mitzvah. And so you don't say, well, I already helped you once today. I don't have to help you anymore. No, you keep helping him as long as he needs it. Halach v'yashav lo v'amar, huil v'alecha mitzvah im resoncha lifrok perok patur, shenamar imo, imay azaken ohole hayav. If the owner of this animal that's suffering under his burden, he goes and sits on a chair on the side. He just doesn't want to deal with it. And you come and say, oh, it looks like your animal needs help. Should I help you with it? And he says, well, it's your mitzvah to do it. So, if you want to fulfill the mitzvah, go ahead and undo and unload it yourself. I'm sitting here, I'm just relaxing. You don't have to unload the animal, because the pasuk says, azob ta azob imo, go and help him, do it together with him. If he refuses to help himself, you don't have to go and do all of the unloading all on your own. On the other hand, if the owner of the animal was elderly or sick and he was not able to unload the animal, and that's why he's not sitting on the side, he says, listen, I'd love to help you, but I have a broken arm, I can't do it, then you are liable to unload it all by yourself. Mitzvah min ha-Torah riflok, aval lo lit'on, Rabbi Shimon omer, af lit'on. The Tanakhama says that the mitzvah in the Torah is to unload, but there's no mitzvah to load it up. But Rabbi Shimon says there's also mitzvah to load it up. Rabbi Yosef Galili omer, im haya alav yater al masa'o, en zakuk lo shene'emar, tachat masa'o, masoy, sheyachol la'amod bo. Rabbi Yosef Galili says, if the animal is suffering under a burden that's too much for the animal, this kind of animal can usually bear 100 pounds, and this owner came and put 150 pounds on it, then you don't have to help him out, because the pasuk says he is suffering under its burden, meaning a normal burden that it can usually bear, and yeah, it's bearing it, but then it got tired, it got weak, and now it needs help. Then you have to help out the owner. But if the owner put on 150 pounds on this little animal, that's the owner's problem, right? You shouldn't have done that in the first place. You only have to help him if it's a normal load, and then the animal just got tired. Amarava, Revet Shamru enam mat'a ve'enam mishameret. Enam mat'a midikatani eno chayav ba, ve'enam mishameret midistirich limitneh eno chayav ba. Rava says, when the Resha says, if you find an animal in a barn, then leave it there. You do not have to return it. You can assume that the owner has it there. Rava says, this case is talking about an in-between case. It's a type of a barn that will not cause it to get lost. In other words, the barn has some enclosure. It's not like huge open that if it just walks around, it's going to naturally get lost. It's also not talking about a kind of barn that is all closed up and nicely fenced in, where it is safe and sound in there and won't be able to get out. Rather, in the middle. It has some small openings, and if an animal really wanted to get out, it would be able to find such an opening. But no, if it's just normally walking around, it will stay in the barn. It's not going to naturally get lost out of it. It's that in-between case that the Mishnah is telling us. Now, how do you know? Because if it has to be that it's not going to cause it to get lost with huge openings, because it says, leave it there. You don't have to return it. That means you can leave it there. So it's good enough that it will stay in the barn. And also, you can assume that it's not very well secured, because it needs to tell us the case. Otherwise, it would be obvious. If you come to a barn that's well secured, why would you take out the animal, right? It's in there already, so it's nicely secured. There's nothing to return it to. It's already in a place where it should be. So the fact that the Mishnah has to tell us, leave it there, it must be talking about a case where there are some small openings that it could get out. Nevertheless, it's pretty secure, so leave it there. And we furthermore prove it. Because if you would think that the Mishnah is talking about a case that it is totally secure in this barn, and so now that you found it, if you would find it outside walking around in the field, you would bring it inside and put it in this barn that's secured. Remember, we saw before, you don't have to return an item to the hands of the owner. The owner doesn't have to know about it. You could just put it in a secure property of the owner, even if the owner doesn't know about it. So if you found it outside, you would bring it to the barn that's secure, and you put it in there. So now, if you find it inside, do you have to tell me that the halacha is that, what am I going to do? Take it out of the barn and put it back in the barn? It's already in the barn, so there was nothing to return. Ela shema mina, and I'm shemeret shema mina. Rather, the Mishnah must be giving us an extra chidush. A chidush, that it's talking about a case where the barn is a little bit open. It's not so secure, and nevertheless it teaches, even though it's not a secure barn, if it's in there and it's not going to naturally get lost, then leave it in there. It must be the owner knows about it, and it's not a lost item. Misa barefet eno chayav. Mishnah says, again, if you find it in a stable, then don't return it. It's just leave it there. Yitzchak says, in what case does Mishnah say that you should leave it in the barn? When it's inside Techum Shabbat. If it's closer to the city, it's more likely that it's not lost. If it's far away from the city, more than 2,000 amot, out where no one lives, then it's more likely that it is lost. So Rabbi Yitzchak is saying, when it's in this kind of barn and it's close to the city, that's when you should leave it there. Sounds like if it's far away from the city in this somewhat open barn, then you do need to return it. Now, we can derive from this something about the sefa. The next clause says, if it's in public domain, then you do have to return it. So since the resha is talking about within the city limits, so too the sefa is also within the city limits, and is teaching us that if you find an animal walking around in a public area, even within the city limits, you should assume that it's lost. All the more so if it's out in the middle, it's very far from the city on a highway, that's certainly lost. Ika dematni la asefa b'shut rabim chayaba amar Rabbi Yitzchak v'hu she'omed chutz l'tchum miklal debarefet afilu omedet chutz l'tchum name eno chayaba. That statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, some people learn it, explain that he is commenting on the first clause of the Mishnah, but other people say that he's commenting on the second clause of the Mishnah. The second clause said, if you find an animal in a public domain, then you have to return it. Rabbi Yitzchak says, that is if it's outside the Techum. Only if it's on a public area and it's far away from the city, that's when you have to return it. But if it's close to the city in a public area, then you do not have to return it. From the fact that the Sefa is far away from the city, that means that Esha is also a case where it's far away from the city, and is teaching me that if you find an animal in a barn, well, a barn, you can assume that the owner put it in there, even if it's this kind of barn that's not totally enclosed. And the Chidush is, even if it's far away from the city, and you find it in a barn, you can assume that the owner knows about it. It's not a lost item. That's where animals belong. They belong in a barn. And okay, he happens to leave the animal far away from the city, but he put it in a barn. So that's fine. Leave it there. It's not a lost item. But if it's walking out in the middle of the street, then you have to return it. Bebeta kevarot lo yitamela. But if you're a Kohen and you see someone's animal in the cemetery, a lost animal, you know, you can try to get someone else to go in, but you are not allowed to become Tameh to return the animal. Tenor banan. Minayin shima ma'lo aviv hi Tameh o shema lo al tachzir shelo yishma'lo shenemad ish imo ve'aviv tira ovet shebetotai tishmoru ani Adonai kulechem chayavin bichvodi. Now, Braita, on the next law in the Mishnah, that if a parent says to violate a halakha, then you do not listen to the parent. If the parent says to a Kohen, his son, he's a Kohen, his son is a Kohen, and he says, become Tameh for me, right? I want you to, I kicked my ball into the cemetery, go get it for me. So it's a mitzvah to listen to your father, right? Yeah, but he's telling you to go into the cemetery to get it. No, you should not listen to him. Or if he says, oh, what are you doing? You're going to involved in returning this lost item? Don't do that. I want you to get me a drink, right? So you have to do kibbutz avim, get him a drink. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah right here to return this lost animal. Don't listen to your father who says, don't return it. Rather, it's a mitzvah. Go and return it. Now, how do you know that you should not obey your father in these cases? Because the pasuk says, every person, has to fear his mother and his father. And the continuation of the pasuk says, and keep Shabbat, Ani Hashem. What does it mean, Ani Hashem? Everybody is obligated in God's honor, including the parents. In other words, the parents everybody has to honor their parents, the child and the parents all have to honor Hashem. Analogy might be if you're in a company and you have an immediate boss, a mid-level manager, and there's the CEO of the company. So if you're there, the mid-level manager says, go and do A. And then the CEO is there and he says, no, don't do that, do B. Now, who are you going to listen to? Should you listen to your mid-level manager because he's your immediate superior? On the other hand, the mid-level manager, he himself has to answer to the CEO. So obviously, you're going to follow what the CEO says. And so therefore, since everybody's obligated in God's honor and doing mitzvot that Hashem said, right? Yes, you should honor, fear your parents, but also Shabbat. And I am Hashem, do everything that Hashem says. And so your father has no right to tell you to go against what Hashem said. And so too, like a mid-level manager has no right to tell you to go against the CEO who's in charge of the whole thing. A question on this braita. The only reason, it sounds like, that you do not obey the father is because the pasuk says, follow my Shabbat, I am Hashem. If it didn't say that, then you would listen to your father, right? That's what it says. This is only because it says Ani Hashem at the end of the pasuk. But we ask, V'amai, Hay aseh v'hay lo ta'aseh v'aseh, la'ateh aseh v'dacheh et lo ta'aseh v'aseh. We could figure out this law even without this derasha, because honoring parents is misfat aseh. And not becoming tameh is a lo ta'aseh, again, right, Kohanim, do not become tameh, and it's also an aseh, kedoshim tihiyu. And so one aseh does not have the power to override a lo ta'aseh and a naseh. So I would know it based on that logic. I don't need the pasuk to tell me, oh, the parents are also obligated in fearing Hashem. And the answer is, istri chsaka da techamin ho'il v'ukash kibud av'em l'chbo ado shel makom sh'nemar kan kabed et abicha v'timecha v'nemar lahlan kabed et Adonai mehonecha hilkach s'lesayet le kamashmalan delal lishma le. This is an amazing answer. We do need the pasuk because I might have thought that since honoring parents is compared to honoring Hashem, as it says, you have to kabed abicha mecha, honor your father and mother, and it says similar language, kabed, honor Hashem with your wealth. So since is an obligation to both, and it uses the same word, I might have thought that just like you have to honor Hashem, honoring parents is the same level. And therefore, if your father says, go and become Tameh, Maybe you have to listen to your father and be like, if there's partners that are two CEOs that are partners and one says one thing and one says the other thing. So you have a right to listen to either one. And if the father says this, then it's the same level, equal. This is an amazing derasha because it's saying that honoring parents is on a similar level to honoring Hashem. Why would we say that? Well, the idea is, what does it mean to honor parents? Why do we honor parents? Because our parents gave us life. We owe everything to our parents. What would you not do for a parent that just brought you into the world? Dayenu, and fed you, Dayenu, right? Did do so much for us. So we owe everything. And therefore, it's just a basic obligation of Hakarat Hatov and recognizing where we come from. And so too, that's our biological creators. And so too, the creator of the whole world and the essence of all existence, certainly we have to have the same amount. But, you know, the way actually to understand what it means to honor Hashem is through parents. That's why it's the fifth commandment. It's the connection between Ben Adam LaMakom to Ben Adam LaChavero. So without the idea of honoring parents, we would not even know how to honor Hashem. Anyway, we would think that these would be the same level, and therefore I might think, yeah, so if the father says something, then you go against the Torah, even though Hashem said it. That's why the pasuk has to go out of its way to said Shabbatotai Tishmoru Ani Hashem, right? That teaches that even though these are, you know, these are similarly compared mitzvot, kabed and kabed, nevertheless, when it comes to a case like this, you do not listen to your father. You have to follow the mitzvah. Your father can't lead you on the wrong direction, lead you astray, and tell you to do something bad. Only if he tells you the right advice to do something that's proper. Mitzvah min haTorah lifrok aval lo liton. Now the Tanakh Kama says that there is a mitzvah to unload an animal that's suffering, but not to load and help your friend load an animal that all the wares are on the floor and he needs help to get it on. My aval lo liton ilema aval lo liton kelal myshna perika dichtiv azob ta azob imo tina nameh haketiv hakem takim imo. So what does the Tanakh Kama mean? Is it literally there's really no mitzvah to load an animal? Right, what's it? If you say that, then what's the difference between loading and unloading? After all, we have two pesukim. One is in Shemot and one is in Devarim. Let's look at those pesukim inside. The one in Shemot says, "Ki tereh chamor sona acha." That's one difference. It talks about the enemy. But here it's robes tachat masa'o. He's crouching, the animal's crouching under its heavy weight. So don't leave it alone, help him. So this is seems to be talking about that it's crouching under a load and you have to help unload it. The pasuk in Devarim, however, is lo teshmar achicha. This is achicha, not sonacha. That's a separate difference. We're not going to address right here. O shoro nofelim baderech vitalam tamehen. You see the animal of your friend that has fallen. So we understand this as that the load is fallen. Maybe the animal is fallen too, but the load is off of it. And now, hakem takim. Hakem takim means lift it up. Lift up the animal and lift up the load and load it back on to the animal. So you see that there are two pesukim, and just like there's a pasuk about unloading, there's a pasuk about loading. So why are you saying that there's only mitzvah to unload? Ela mitzvah min haTorah lifrok bechinam v'lo litom bechinam ela besachar. Rather, what Tanakh Kama means is that yes, there is an obligation for both, but the mitzvah of the Torah to unload, that you have to do for free. You see your friend and his animal suffering and you have to unload it, you can't ask him to pay you for that because it's Sadar Bechalim, as we're going to see, so you have to just do that. But to unload it, your friend says, hey, I need help loading this, you say, fine, I'm happy to load it, but you can expect payment for his time and effort because this is just loading it on. So he should pay you for that, for those services. Rabbi Shimon Omer, af liton bechinam. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Tanakh Kama and says, both mitzvot you have to do for free. You just have to help your friend, both to unload and to load. Tanena leha detenur banam. Perika bechinam tena besachar. Rabbi Shimon Omer, zo vezo bechinam. This interpretation that we just gave the Mishnah is explicit in the Braita that according to Tanakh Kama, you have to unload for free, but for loading, you can ask for wages. Rabbi Shimon says, both of them are for free. Why do Rabbanan make a distinction between loading and unloading? Because if you would say like Rabbi Shimon that both of them are for free, then the Torah could have said you have to load it, and would not need to tell me unload it, because I could learn it from a Kal Vachomer. If the Torah says I have to load something for free where the animal's not suffering, the animal's happy, right? He's just he's walking around, and the load is on the floor, and there's no monetary loss to the owner because the animal is not suffering under a load that's going to get a permanent injury, right? It'll just take him some more time to have to load it, but he's not losing out monetarily. And nevertheless, you are liable, according to the Bishimon, even for free, then pedikadit basar al-bacharim v'chasron kis lo kol sheken. Then I could figure out myself that if it needs unloading, where the animal is suffering, and it could have permanent injury, that would be a monetary loss to the owner, all the more so. And so the Torah could have just said one law, and I would have known the other on my own. So why the pasuk? Well, how can we have two pesukim? Lomalach perikah bechinam teina besachar. Torah teaches two pesukim to teach us that there's a difference between the two. Unloading you have to do for free, but loading you're allowed to charge for it. That's the proof of Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon, my ta'ama, mishum de'la mesayim ekira'eh. Rabbi Shimon, according to him, that's a good point. How come you don't learn the Kal Vachomer? And he says, we already saw this argument, that the Pesukim are not clearly defined. I know, even though we just read the Pesukim, and it sounds like one is loading, one's unloading, but they're not really so clear. There's some ambiguity there. It just means help out. Hakem Takim could also mean that it's falling, it's on it, and it's falling, so put it back up. Right, which might mean unloading and loading it up, but Hakim Takim is still right, standing it back, standing, making it stand up straight. So it's not clear which one pasuk is only loading and one pasuk is only unloading, and therefore, if the Torah said only one pasuk, I would have said, oh, maybe only unloading is required because it's suffering, but loading is not required at all, and that's why I need two pasukim to tell me that there is an obligation for loading and unloading. And indeed, both have the same requirement that you have to do it for free. But Rabbanan, amai la mesayimei kira. According to Rabbanan, how come you think that the pesukim are clearly defined, and if it only had one, you could learn the other with for the Kal Vachomer? And he answers, hacha ketiv robes tachat masa'o, hakata hatam ketiv nofilin baderech, deramu inhu utunayhu beorcha mashma. Good pasuk in Shemot says, it's crouched or collapsed under its burden. That means the burden is still on it, and it's suffering under it. It needs to be unloaded. Whereas Pasuk in Devarim says, it's fallen on the way. Fallen means that the animal is here, and the load is fallen off, and it's over there. It's not on the animal anymore. It's on the ground. That's what it sounds like. And therefore, if they were the same law, then it could have just taught me loading as required, and then I would know unloading for sure. But it doesn't say that, since it says both pesukim, that's to teach me that one is for free and one is with payment. Rabbi Shimon, nofilin baderech, inu tunayu ilavayu mashma. Rabbi Shimon, what do you do with that pasuk? Nofilin baderech, doesn't that sound like the merchandise is on the floor by itself? And he says, no, not necessarily. It could be that the animal is still tied to the burden, and the whole thing is on the animal, right? Still tied to the burden, and it needs help being unloaded and help it stand back up. And so really, both of them could be talking about requirement to unload. And since you have two pesukim according to Bishimon, but if I only had one of them, I wouldn't know which one it is. I might think it's only that you have to unload. I wouldn't know loading at all. That's why I need both to teach me unloading and loading, because of the doubling. One of them is unloading, but the other one must be a different case. It must be loading, and both are for free. Now we're going to come to a long discussion. The preventing suffering to animals is a mitzvah. Is it required mideoraita or only midrabanan? Rava wants to prove that both, according to Tanna Kamma and according to the Bishimon, Sar Bale Chaim is a deoraita requirement. Vafilu the Bishimon, La Kamad Ela Mishum de la Mesayame Kerae, Ava Mesayame Kerae, Darshinan Kabachomer, Mishum Mai, La Mishum Sar Bale Chaim Darshinan. We saw above that according to Rabbanan, he makes a Kabachomer. If I only had one pasuk, then I would learn a Kabachomer to the other because of Sar Bale Chaim. If I have to help load where there's no Sarah Balachayim, all the more so to help unload where there is Sarah Balachayim. So you see, Rabbanan is assuming that Sarah Balachayim is a deoraita principle, right? Because he's using it to explain this pasuk. But so that's for sure. And here Rava is saying, even according to the Bishimon, his point of requiring two pesukim is only because the pesukim are not clearly defined what case is talking about. But what if it were clearly defined? Then he would agree with the Kal Vachomer, right? Well, what's the Kal Vachomer? Is it not Kal Vachomer based on Sar Balei Chaim? If you know you have to load, then all the more so you have to unload because the animal is suffering. That sounds like a good proof. We're going to challenge it. Dilma mishum de ika chesron kis. Vahikamar. Matina delet ba chesron kis. Chaya pedika de it ba chesron kis. Lo kol sheken. No, maybe the essence of that Kal Vachomer is about monetary loss. And this is the Kal Vachomer. If loading, where the owner is not losing anything out by just delaying, loading it, it'll take him longer to do it by himself, but he's not losing out, and nevertheless you have to help him. Unloading, where there is monetary loss, the animal could be damaged permanently, all the more so. So you see that the Kal Vachomer is actually based on monetary loss, and not necessarily based on Sar Balei Chaim. In fact, the Kal Vachomer of the Rabbanan here said both things, but our question is, which is the main thing that it is, right? Maybe the monetary loss is sufficient by itself for the Kal Vachomer. And no, so we reject this. Uteina en b'chasron kis. You're telling me that loading does not involve monetary loss? It does. Mila askinan da'adahachi v'achi batil mishukeh. By the time the owner by himself loads everything, which will take a long time, he'll lose out on the marketplace day, right? He's taking his wares in the morning. He's leaving early, 7 a.m. He's on his way. Everything fell off. It's going to take him 8 hours to put it on by himself. By the time he gets to the marketplace, everybody will be gone. He's going to lose out. Furthermore, if all his merchandise is on the floor, it'll be easy for thieves to come and take it, and he'll have a monetary loss. So there is monetary loss in loading also. So there's no difference between them. And in fact, the main part of the Kal Vachomer is not for monetary loss, but rather from Sar Balei Lechaim, which Rabbi Shimon would also agree to, and therefore is a deoraita law. Tedad sabachlim deoraita dekatane psefa. Rabbi Yose Galili omer im haya alav yater al masao en zak. And I'll give you a proof that according to Tanakama, Sar Balei Chaim is Doraita, because the last opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yose Galili, says if it's the burden is too much for the animal, in other words, the owner overburdened it by putting 150 pounds on a little animal that can only handle 100 pounds, then you don't have to help him out. Because it says tachat masa'o, masa shelo, a burden that's appropriate for it. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yose Galili. We can infer that Tanakama would not agree. And Tanakama would say, you have to help him anyway. Even though the owner was irresponsible and loaded it too much, still you have to help. Why do you have to help? Is it not because the animal is suffering? It's not, you don't have to help it because of the owner. The owner is a bad guy. He did this. He doesn't deserve help for loading it too much. But the animal, it didn't do anything wrong, and the animal's suffering, and that's why you have to help him according to Tanakama. See, it's Doraita. We reject this proof. Dilma betachat masa'o pelige, Rabbi Yose sabar dashinan tachat masa'o, maso shechol amod bo, Rabbanan sabre la dashinan tachat masa'o. So maybe not. Maybe the machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Yose Galili is not a conceptual one, but rather simply a textual one. This phrase, under its burden, Rabbi Yose derives from that pronoun, its burden, that only if it's a burden that it can normally handle. And a banan don't think that. It's just that those words are necessary for the flow of the pasuk, and you don't learn any extra law from it. And so that's why he says that you have to help him no matter what. But maybe not because of Sar Balei Chaim. Maybe he thinks Sar Balei Chaim is not deoraita, but he still thinks it's a misvah to help, because the Torah makes no distinction, because this pronoun is not a significant one to derive from, and so therefore there's no proof from here that necessarily Tanakama thinks it's deoraita. Okay, there's no disproof either, but this doesn't work as an absolute proof. Teda de Sar Balei Chaim lav deoraita de katani resha. But now we're going to go the other way and actually prove that Sar Balei Chaim is not deoraita from this Mishnah. תקטני רשע. הלך וישב לו, ואמר לו, היו עליך מצווה לפרוק פרוק, פטוש, נאמר, אמו, ויסה כדתך לבר חיים דאורייתא, מה לי איתה למראה בהדה, מה לי קילטה למראה בהדה. Beforehand, in this very Mishnah, it says that if the owner went and sat on the side, he's lounging out, and he doesn't care about his own animal that's suffering, and you come along and say, you need help, and the guy says, listen, If you want to help, if you want to unload it yourself, because it's your mitzvah. But I'm relaxing. I don't want to do it. The Mishnah said that you do not have to help, right? Because it says imo, you only have to help together with him. But if he's not helping himself, you don't have to help him. Now that was the Mishnah. If you think that sabar chalim is doraita, then what's the difference if the owner is helping or not helping? You have to. This animal is still suffering, so you should have to unload it on your own, no matter what. And so isn't that a good proof that Sarabar Chalim is not Doraita according to our Mishnah? And the answer is, Lo Olam Sarabar Chalim Doraita. Misvarat Patur, Patur Degamre, V'dilma Patur Bechinam, V'cheya Besachar. No, maybe in fact Sarabar Chalim is Doraita. And when the Mishnah says you don't have to help him out if he's not helping himself, that only means you don't have to help him out for free. But you do have to help him out, and then you can demand payment. If the owner is there and he's willing to help, and you're willing, and he says, can you help me out? Then you have to help him for free. You're doing it together. If he's going to lounge out on the side and you're doing all the work by yourself, then you can charge him wages. But either way, you have to help the animal because the animal's suffering. And what the Torah is teaching is that if the owner is there, then help him out for free. If the owner is not there, then you still have to help him out, but you can collect wages.
We continue with a series of proofs for and against the law that Sar Bar Lachaim is Doraita or not. And here's a mnemonic to remember them. Behemat, behemat, oheb, sone, rabsan. Each of these words is one of the next proofs. Lema misa le behemat is the first behemat. Nochri metapel ba ke behemat Israel. I amat bishlama sar ba lachem doraita. Bishamachi metapel ba ke behemat Israel. Eli amat sar ba lachem lav doraita. Amai metapel ba ke behemat Israel. Here's a braita that teaches, if you see an animal that belongs to a non-Jew and it's suffering under its load, you have to help it just like if it belonged to a Jew. Same thing. Now, if you say that Sarabar Lachaim is a deoraita law, then that makes sense. The point is to help the animal. What's the difference if the animal is owned by a Jew or non-Jew? But if you say Sarabar Lachaim is not a deoraita law, then why do you have to help out the non-Jew the same as a Jew? It should be that this applies to a Jew. Achicha, this is a special law to go out of your way to help your fellow Jew. It's not a universal moral law that you have to go out of your way for free and help someone else. It's a nice thing to do, but the Torah doesn't necessarily legislate helping everyone equally, go above and beyond the basic acts of kindness to require someone to do so. So why would it be required if, unless it's because of the suffering of the animal? And the answer is Hatam Mishum Eva. No, this Baraita, where it says you have to help a non-Jew the same as a Jew, it's because of enmity that will arise if Jews help only other Jews but not non-Jews. That'll be a terrible Chilul Hashem and cause enmity. And therefore, even though technically Torah law is only for Jews, but we have to apply it to non-Jews as well, in order to keep our reputation good. And so now that we respond to this proof and we say, actually, it could be the Rabbanan, then we continue, we double down on that. And we say, actually, it makes more sense to say that Sar Bar Lachaim is not deoraita from another braita, that if this non-Jew's animal was carrying idolatrous wine, then you don't have to help him out. Now, if you say Bala Sar Bar Lachaim is not deoraita, then that makes sense. I don't have to help him out because I don't have to worry about the suffering of the animal because that's not deoraita. I'm not going to help the non-Jew because I don't want to help out with idolatry.
But if you say it's deoraita, then how come I don't have to deal with it? Who cares what he's carrying? The animal is suffering. I should have to help him. And the answer is hikamad ulhatina yenesech en zakukla. No, what this beraita is saying is to load it with the ayin nesech, I don't have to. But it could very well be that Sar Baal Chaim is Doraita, and if it's carrying anything, even if it belongs to a non-Jew, and it's carrying Yayin Nesech, still, you have to care about the animal, and the animal doesn't know what it's carrying, it's just suffering. So you have to remove it, you have to unload it. But to load it on, that's what you don't have to do, because loading it on, there's no Sar Baal Chaim, and I don't have to help the non-Jew regarding idolatrous materials. Tashema behemat nochri umasoi Yisrael vechadalta. If you have an animal that belongs to a non-Jew, but he's carrying merchandise that belongs to a Jew, they're partnering together. The Jew hired this non-Jewish donkey owner to transport his wares somewhere else, and you see this combo thing. Suffering under its load. The pasuk says vechadalta, and here that means that you can leave it alone. If you look at the pasuk one more time, this is the pasuk in Shemot. Even though the in context is, if you see sonachar v'estam asov vechadalta me'azov lo, right? And if you would think about keeping away from helping him, don't do that, make sure to help him. So in context, it's like, don't vechadalta, don't hold back. But if you take it out of context, like we've done for a similar pasuk, chadalta could mean that there are cases where you're allowed to hold back and not help him. And this is one of them. Now, if you say, Sabal HaChayim is deoraita, how can you hold back? Who cares if the animal belongs to a non-Jew? The animal is suffering, and therefore you must help it. And instead of saying chadata, we should apply in this case also, azob ta azob, help him out, right? Because the animal is suffering. So is this not a good proof that Sabal HaChayim is not deoraita? And we answer, Lo'olam Sar Baal Chaim Doraita, Hatam Beterina. No, really, Sar Baal Chaim is Doraita. And if it was about unloading it, then you'd have to help him no matter what. But this Baraita is talking about a case of loading the animal. That's why, if it belongs to a non-Jew, and the animal's not suffering, because the merchandise is just on the floor. And so you don't have to load it for the non-Jew, but you would have to unload it because of Sar Baal Chaim. We ask, Yachi Amasefa. If so, look at the continuation of that very Baraita with the opposite case. Behemat Yisrael umasoy nochri azob ta'azob. If it's a Jewish-owned animal, and he is carrying wares on behalf of a non-Jew, and the animal is suffering, help him out. And if you say that the resha is talking about only loading, and this case also then is only loading, why do I have to help him? Why do I have to help load the merchandise of a non-Jew? Right? The animal's not suffering, so why do I have to help him? And the answer is Mishum Sadat Yisrael, because there's also suffering of a Jew. His animal is delayed. He's going to take him a long time. And so you're helping the Jew by loading the merchandise of the non-Jew, because they're working together. So if so, then the resha also, where it was the animal of a non-Jew, but the merchandise of a Jew, so you should help out this non-Jew and his animal, because you're helping out the Jew also, whose merchandise it is, by loading it, and then it'll get there faster. So in either case, there's a Jewish and a non-Jewish person that are involved in this, and so either way you should help out you should help out no matter what, because the Jew is involved. And that answer is resha bechamar nochri sefa bechamar Israel. No, we're looking at the identity, not just who owns the animal, but the identity of the animal driver. And the resha, where it's owned, the animal is owned by a non-Jew, is not just that, but also the hamad, the donkey driver, is not Jewish. And the sefa is where the donkey driver is Jewish. My pasakt, and how do you know? How do you decide which one is and which one isn't? Setama de milita inish batar hamare azil. Generally, a man goes after his donkey, which is a funny phrase to take out of context, that people follow their animals. But the point here is that if a non-Jew owns a donkey, then it's likely that he will be the donkey driver. People generally drive their own cars. Sometimes they borrow someone else's car, but usually
you can assume that they're borrowing, driving his own car. So too, he is driving his own donkey. So that explains why in the Resha, we can say that one does not have to help him load it because it's a non-Jewish donkey driver. But in the Sefa, you have to help him load it because it's a Jewish donkey driver. Now he said, okay, now you just said that this Baraita is talking about loading. Yeah, but that can't be because the pasuk that it quotes, Chadalta and Azob Ta'azob, these are the pasukim in Shemot that are referring to unloading. So how can you say that this Baraita is talking about loading? So we end up saying, you're right. That Baraita that we just quoted about the Jewish-owned with non-Jewish merchandise or the other way around, this is in fact talking about unloading, because that's what the pasuk is. And there would be Sadeh L'Sabar L'Chaim, and yet it says you don't have to help him out. Why? It must be this Baraita, the opinion of Rabbi Yosi HaGalili. He thinks that Sadeh L'Chaim is not the Baraita. The other rabbis disagree, and they think it is Doraita. Tashema, another proof. Ohev lifrok v'sone lit'on, misva v'sone kede lachof et Yisrael. Baraita says, let's say there's two animals on the road at the same time that are both suffering, that both need help. And who should you help, who takes precedence? If you have your friend who you love, and he needs help unloading his animal, because animal's suffering, and the other hand, on the other side of the road, you have someone you hate, or he hates you, and he wants to load his animal, so you should help the person you hate, even though loading is less important than unloading. Nevertheless, you should do so in order to subjugate your inclination. Human tendency is, if you dislike someone and you help them, then you will end up liking them better. And if they don't like you and they accept a favor from you, they also they will end up liking you better. It's a famous story that Benjamin Franklin, if he had someone who hated him, he would ask that person for a favor. Because generally, people like to be asked for a favor, and they'll help out. And once a person helps out, then he will come to like you. And that's what he would do for foreign diplomats who didn't like him. He would say, can you help me out? Do me a favor? Can you lend me this book? And then they would. And then he would develop good relationship with that person. And so here also, it's more important to help the hated person, even though he's only loading, which is not as urgent, because that will lead to a better relationship and subdue his hateful spirit.
Hold on, if you think Sar Balechaim is the Doraita law, then don't you have to help the friend whose animal is suffering? This animal is suffering. That's Doraita law. That would take precedence if you thought it was Doraita.
And the answer is, afilu achi kedei lachof et Yisrael adif. Even if you say Sar Balechaim is Doraita, nevertheless, subjugating one's evil inclination towards hatred is even more important than helping an animal. This is Sa'ad, human beings, that a Jew should hate another Jew. And so now you have an opportunity to go and help that person and then come to hate them less and even maybe become friends with them. That is more important than Sa'ad Balei Chaim. What a nice lesson.
Tashema, sone she'amiru sone Yisrael, ve'no ve'losh sone nochri.
A Braita teaches that when the Torah mentions, if you see the animal of your enemy, that's talking about a Jewish enemy, that's who you have to help, but not a non-Jewish enemy. Now, if you say that suffering of an animal is Doraita law, who cares what the identity of the owner is? We have to take care of the animal no matter what. And the answer to that is, mi sevarat asone dikra ka'e, asone dematnitin ka'e.
Oh, did you think when this was saying sone she'amru, that it was quoting the pasuk and explaining the pasuk?
No, it was quoting the previous Baraita, or that said, that just talked about Sone. Here, this Baraita, Ohev lifrok v'sone lit'on. This Sone, it's telling you, is talking about a Sone Nochri, a Sone Yisrael. That's where it takes precedence, and you have to help out a Sone Yisrael to make him friends, and that overrides Sar Balechaim. But if it's a hated person that's a non-Jew, then that does not take precedence over Sa'ar Ba'al Chaim, but it could be that Sa'ar Ba'al Chaim is in fact De'oraita in all these cases. Tashema, Robes ve'lo Rabsan, Robes ve'lo Omed, Tachad Masa'o ve'lo Meforak, Tachad Masa'o Masoi, She'chol La'amod Bo. V'yamad Sa'ar Ba'al Chaim De'oraita, Mali Robes, Mali Rabsan, Mali Omed. Long Baraita says, if you see an animal crouching or collapsed under its burden. So we see that means it's collapsing now, but not one that always collapses, right? It has to be it's collapsing now because it is carrying for a long time. But if it collapses all the time, then you don't have to help it out. If it's collapsing, you have to help it out. But if it's standing tall, and even though it's heavy and maybe it's suffering, but it's not crouching because of it, then you don't have to help him. And tachat masa'o, you only have to help him if he has a burden on it. But if the animal is has no burden, it's unloaded, then you don't have to help to load it. We'll see what this means in a minute. Under its load, meaning if it's under a load that it's worthy for it, right? 100 pounds that it normally carries. But if the owner put 250 pounds on it, then you don't have to help him out. Now, that's the end of the Braita. If you say Sa'ar Ba'al Chaim is Doraita, then what's the difference if it's currently collapsing or it generally collapses? Or what's the difference if it's standing, if it's still suffering? So why does it have to actually be collapsing? All right? So what's the difference between all these cases? If it's suffering, you should have to help it no matter what. And the answer is, oh, this whole Braita is Rabbi Yosei Galili, who already said, thinks that it's only the Rabbanan. Hachinem mistabera, and that makes sense. The katani tachat masa'o, maso shechol hamod bo. Machmat le, de'it le, hay sebera, biosege lini, shema mina. And it makes sense because the Baraita also says, only if it's carrying a burden that's appropriate for it. But not if the owner puts something on it's too much. Who thinks that? That's in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosei Galili's opinion in the Mishnah. So therefore it makes sense that this entire Baraita is only opinion of Rabbi Yosei Galili, who does not think that there is Sa'ar Ba'al Chaim on the Doraita level. Hold on. Can you really say this whole Baraita is opinion of Rabbi Yosei Galili? Ba'katani sefa tachat masa'o ve'lo meforak. Ma'i lo meforak ila ma lo meforak kelal hakitim ka'hakem takim imo. Ela peshita lo meforak bechinam ela besachar. The Sefa says of that Baraita, under its weight, but then you have to help it, but not if it's unloaded. So what does it mean that you don't have to help it if it's unloaded? If you mean that you don't have to help it at all to load, because it's unloaded now, you don't have to do anything to load it. But there's another pasuk that says hakem takim, right? And that means you have to load it. So rather it means that you don't have to load it for free. Unloading you have to do for free, but in order to load it, you don't have to do it for free, but you can ask for wages. Now, who says that you can ask for wages for loading it? That is Rabbanan. So therefore, don't you see that this Baraita must be the opinion of Rabbanan? And we answer, actually, Rabbi Yosei Galili can agree with Rabbanan on this point, that if you're loading, then you can ask for wages. Tenu Rabbanan. Last baraita, two more baraitot. Ki tir'eh, yachol afilu merachok, tamud lomar ki tifka. Ki tifka, yachol pegi'ah mamash, tamud lomar ki tir'eh. Ve'ezo hi ri'iyah sheyesh ba pegi'ah, sheruchamim echad misheba o mechasa b'mil, ve'zehu ris. This Baraita compares the language in two Pisukim that are back-to-back. The first one, Ki Tifga, this was about a lost animal. It says, Ki Tifga, if you meet it. And the other Pasuk regarding helping an animal under its burden says, Ki Tireh, if you see it. So why the difference in Ki Tifga and Ki Tireh? So the Baraita asks it as follows. Is if you see your animal, that sounds like even if it's from far away, right? If you see it from far away and suffering, do you have to go and travel all the way out of your way, all the way down the road as far as your eye can see and help him out? No, you don't have to, because that's why it says Ki Tifga. Ki Tifga means if you encounter it directly, you bump into it. It's only right if it's right in front of you. Okay, if it has Ki Tifga, you might think that you only have to help it if it's right in front of you, but if it's far away, you don't have to. That's why it says Ki Tireh, if you see it far away. So now which one is it? How could it be both as something that you see but also encounter? Ah, so it's in between, and the rabbis calculate it to be 1/7 1/2 or 2/15 of a meal, which is also a ris. You can see the calculations of how far that is here. Meal is about 1,000 meters. So it would be 1/7 1/2 of that, or a ris is a Persian measurement. You can look at this to see if you can figure out how what 2/15 of a meal is the same as a ris. In any case, that's the point. If it's that far away or closer, then you have to go and help. If it's farther away, then you don't have to. Tana umedade imoad parsa amarababa barhana venotel sachar. Les Braita adds that after you help out your friend, then you have to walk together with him one parsa to make sure he's steady and is not going to fall again. Right? Don't just leave him. Right? You want to make sure that the pack is on good and that he's ready to go for his long journey. And Baba Bara Chana adds that you can ask for wages for that time. The mitzvah is only to unload and load it. That you have to do, well, according to one opinion, load it for with a wage or load it for free. But anyway, after you do that, you finish with the mitzvah. And this is an extra credit to walk with it, and it's not included in the basic mitzvah of helping the animal. And so therefore, it's proper to walk with him, although you can also request wages for that time. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen v'amen.